They'll be with you today for sure. I've been thinking the last couple of days why people get together like this. And I think you could come up with a number of reasons. And one probably is that the gathering is to not only worship God, but to hear about God. Today we're going to also hear about the devil. Once you know about God, you're going to know that one of his main concerns is to put down Satan and to help you and me to get free of his influences. But God's big challenge is this: he has to almost convince us that there is really a devil and that his wiles are many and varied indeed. So I'll be investing 3 messages in that, providing I don't get tossed out in the meanwhile. But my plan is to speak today and like next couple of weeks on this theme. Next week it'll become a lot more personal and to how to handle the influences that come at us and even arise from within us. And we join the enemy so often. And then God has a double problem on his hands with us. But the Bible is filled with teaching, not filled with it, but the Bible has much teaching about Satan. If you begin at the first part of the first book, Genesis, and you'll find Satan there. And you can go to the last part of the last book, and you'll find Satan being disposed of at that point. He makes his entrance, and then he meets his fate eternally at the last part of the last book of the Bible. And all in between there, just everywhere you turn, you're going to see some of this in it. And you may not have noticed it, but it's there more prominently than most people think. Let's take a look right now in the book of Revelation in chapter 12. One of the ways to be introduced to the devil is to know his names that the scripture gives to him. Revelation 12. And if you'll turn to verse 9, the last book of the Bible, 12:9, you'll see, look at the titles given him. The great dragon was hurled down. That ancient serpent called the devil. The word devil means accuser or slanderer. Or Satan. And that word means adversary, who leads the whole world astray. And it says here that he has been hurled down to the earth. And then it says, rejoice, you heavens, you got rid of him, but woe to the earth, you got him. Now, there follows a description in Revelation, and we see it in our lives. The great war, the great contest between the two adversaries, the rightful owner of the world, Jesus Christ now. And the devil has dispossessed us. You were in charge of the world. That is, your father Adam was, and he lost it. And so he lost his rulership and his place and prominence. And he lost it to the hand of the enemy, Satan, who intruded in the Garden of Eden. Then the Lord Jesus Christ has come now to represent God's cause, and he is contending for the ownership, the rightful ownership of the world which we lost. He, in our stead, is contending for it against Satan. If that should seem a little new to you, then you are being victimized by the enemy, because you can't possibly keep your footing if you don't have this context somewhat in hand. So I'm praying that God will open our hearts to it today. And I've come up with a simple little text, and I want to read it to you now. If you turn to the book of John in chapter 14, let's look at the 30th verse, John 14, verse 30. Jesus is speaking, "I will not speak with you much longer." There's some reason for his saying such a thing. "For the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me." Or "he has no thing in me," perhaps some of your translations will say. I'd like to inquire before we start further into the message, just how informed are you about Satan's activities? How aware are you of what he does to you, against you, and even within you, if allowed? Scripture tells us, the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he tells us that there are people who are actually taken captive by the devil to do his will, and they don't know it. And so he says, we must patiently instruct them so that they may come to their senses. If you have never had that emergence where you come out of darkness into the knowledge of this and come really to your senses, then you're going to be victimized by the enemy. There is this change that takes place when Christ gets his way and when the devil loses his control and his advantage over us. The scripture tells us we better make sure that we don't give him any advantage, because we ought not to be ignorant of his devices, his many schemes. Now, we'll look at this little text here, and it's not very powerful appearing, but there's really powerful implications in it. And we're going to look at three disclosures from this text, this little verse, John 15, at verse 30 that I just read to you. And we will look at these three disclosures. That's sort of unveilings. God's going to bring truth on the, flash it on the screen in front of us so that we can see it. And these three disclosures that are given here in the text will show us that we've got to cling to Jesus Christ if we want victory and a release from Satan's influence over us. The first of these disclosures is implied in the first little section. "I will not speak with you much longer." The Lord Jesus suddenly says to his disciples, "I'm finishing my instructions with you. A new day is coming. There's a change coming." I don't know if you've realized it, and this is the first disclosure, is that heaven is in close contact with the earth. And Jesus was sensitive about that, and he knew that the tide was changing. Heaven is in close contact with the earth. That is implied in those words. There's a lot of traffic between heaven and earth, between the other realm and the realm we live in. The physical is not all there is to it. In fact, physical things are very small parts of God's great operation, his universe. When a person dies, all the physical is right there. That's called the remains. But the person has left. You are not just a body. You live in a body. You are a spiritual being. There is a spiritual realm. And in the spirit realm, there is also a heavenly place, an actual place. And there is this earthly realm. And we are creatures on it right now. But there's a great deal of traffic as God rules the world. ultimately. He's ultimately in charge of things. But he has allowed this great contest to exist. And Satan, for at the present time, is seen here in our text as the ruler, the prince of this world. Let's go back, though, to this first little phrase there. Our Lord Jesus Christ gives us a lot of insights as to what's going on. And let's look at the examples of the traffic between heaven and earth. For example, look back in just in verse 28. You heard me say, I am going away and I'm coming back to you. This coming and going, it began with Jesus when he entered into the world. John 1 makes that very clear, even in the Old Testament, but we can't go back into that just now. But let's just take the New Testament. The Lord Jesus born in our world, and he said, I have come from the other world, and I have come to you, and I have to make known to you the words of the Father. And then he tells back in verse 26 that as he leaves, he's going to send the Counselor, the Holy Spirit. So we have much traffic between this realm here we're living in and the other realm, but we're not sensitive to that. We don't we don't readily respond to the fact that God is ruling in this world and that he is overseeing all things according to his will. And he has sent now the Holy Spirit after the Son has gone back into heaven. The Son died and he apparently left the world. But no, in 3 days he rose again and was again among his disciples, and he ascended into heaven. And he's going to come back yet again. There is much contact between God and this world. Now, that we can't put a period there. Look next in our verse. It says here that Satan, the Lord Jesus here telling this himself, the prince of this world is coming. So he's about to make another appearance, maybe not an appearance, but a coming into our realm. This started back in the first thing that Jesus did as his official ministry opening was to come and be baptized. And then he was led out into the wilderness. He had this great contest with Satan. I wish we had time to discuss that, but we can't. But at that point, he overcame the devil on every turn. And after he overcame the devil, it says that Satan departed from him until an opportune season would come. And now Jesus is saying he is coming back. I know he's coming back. And he's going to attack me. But he's not going to get any place with that attack. We need to remember that Satan is active today, that God in heaven is active, and that we are living in a physical world, we are physical beings, but we have spirits, and that is the big area of contest right now. I'd like to take us now from this to another scripture that I wanted to mention to you. Just before the Lord Jesus was taken from the garden, the last thing that Luke records, just before the people took him prisoner and dragged him off for his crucifixion, just before that happened, may you not lose your reward. Thank you. Just before our Lord was was taken over, he said, "This is your hour and the hour of darkness." So Satan, as the prince of darkness, assumed a mighty hand of control over things, but it was to his own defeat. As he instigated the crucifixion of Christ, he lost everything with the death of our Lord, as we're going to see. But there are these seasons, and there is a peculiar nearness of Satan right now, a peculiar exhibition of his great power in the world. The coming of Christ and his rulership is not established in just one step. One of the giant steps is in this area right now. Right, you're living in it. And the last days are called in Scripture. It says this is all, and Jesus was plain in teaching his disciples how this was to be. So I'm going to move on now to the second of these disclosures, that Satan is ruler of this world. That's shocking when you think of it in one way, but it'll get even more shocking when you read what the Scripture will say about it. In preparation, look again at our text, verse 30, and it says, "The prince of this world is coming." Are you ready to agree with that? That Satan is the prince, that means ruler, of this world. There is a sense in which we know that, the ultimate sense, God rules all things. But it is also true that he has chosen to work it out this way, and that man chose sin in our father Adam. All of us here have sinned. There's no man who sins not. We have chosen that time and again. And so God holds us obligated to then turn to the Savior, Jesus Christ, or else. Let's look now in John 8 just for a moment. John 8 at verse 42. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me." These people were being rough with Jesus. "For I came from God, and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me." See the contact between the two realms. "Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil." Do you know why the Bible's hard? You know why you don't read it with real joy? Read those verses again. You just can't hear. So once you become a true believer in Christ and you become a committed Christian, it doesn't mean that all of your hearing is cleared up. Doesn't mean you still don't have these ailments that are hangovers and residuals of your old life. But the fact that the Bible is your life or death manual, but it's almost distasteful at times. We just don't get around to it. We don't hunger and thirst after righteousness. And this is why. Because our father, the devil, gets in. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. There's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. 47, he who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. hearing God or not hearing God, enjoying the scripture and understanding, growing in it, or not enjoying and understanding and growing in it, shows where you are. It shows who is your master. You just can't keep saying, I know Jesus my Savior, but I just don't read the Bible much. Or maybe you fake it and think, well, I read this little bit every day out of a little helpful devotional book or something. Friend, you and I display who is my Father by who we hear. When I was a kid and my mother called me, I'd come home. If my daddy called me, I'd race home. And when I went down the street, other parents would call their kids, and I didn't run to their home. I went where my father was. I knew my father's voice. And when he said, Harold, I knew what that meant. And I'd move. You respond to the voice of your Father. This is the Word of God. You and I are playing games often in our church life. And there's no way that I can speak clearly about the devil and his work if I don't say these things. That's what he's about, is to deceive us, to rock us in our cradles of indifference. Did you ever look at the word careless? It means care less. We come to church hoping to be rid of our cares so that we can become careless. Friend, we should come to church to meet Jesus Christ. Our focus should be upon Him, not on my up and down feelings within me. I've got to learn to enjoy Christ and to do what Mary did in the scripture and just sit at his feet, engage him, and let him speak to me. And I want to talk just a word to you younger people, boys and girls who are here today. Don't put this off. You right now have a Father in heaven, I hope, or a father in the underworld. You are of your Father, and his voice you will hear, and his voice you will obey. And then that will tell you where you stand with God. Satan is the ruler of this world. The text says so. He is called the ruler of the world, the prince of the world. And you want something that's really shocking? Turn over to 2 Corinthians 4. This will be the first time some of you maybe seen this in the Bible. 2 Corinthians verse 4 and, excuse me, chapter 4 and verse 4. 4:4 of 2 Corinthians. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. He is called the God of this age, of this time, of this realm. And the term God with a small g applies to him. He is the real ruler. His machinations are determining history, our history, your personal history, if you will allow it to be. Don't worry, Satan cannot do what a Christian won't allow him to do in the name of Christ, as we're going to see as our studies go on. But it says he has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So Satan's work is very evident, what he's doing, and the scripture makes it very, very clear. Our Lord Jesus when he was on earth, spoke openly of Satan as having a kingdom. He engaged Satan in the conflict, you remember, back in the wilderness when he first entered his public ministry, as I just mentioned earlier. And one of the scriptures says this, that Satan took him up on the high place and showed him in an instant all of the kingdoms of the earth with their glory and splendor. And Satan said to Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan said to him, all of this will I give to you. Now, don't just sleep at that and think, well, that didn't make any sense. He can't do that because Jesus is God's son. That's true. But he's standing there in human form. Jesus Christ is our representative. He is my Lord. He is my ruler of the world. I lost out with my father Adam. Now Jesus has come to pay the price for that failure, but also to give the world a new start and to be the legitimate ruler. Meanwhile, the devil has won the day. He defeated us in Adam. We're all defeated. We need a Savior, Jesus namely. So when the devil showed him the kingdoms, do you know he said these words? Listen. He said, and these are all these kingdoms is mine, and I may give it to the ones I choose to. And Jesus never denied that. In fact, Jesus later on spoke of the devil and his kingdom. He spoke of that. It's about time that the church woke up to it too, because we have a definite enemy on our hands. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 2 of Ephesians, where used to be dead in sins, he says, as Christians, when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Christians, every person starts out on the wrong side. They start out in the devil's realm, under his rulership. And he is called the ruler of the kingdom of the air. That means his ethereal kingdom is just permeates the very atmosphere. And he has great control, expansive control. He is the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of the disobedience in the world, the sin and the crime, is energized by Satan and his kingdom workers, as we're going to see in a moment. We have to make a great decision as to whose side we're on, and we need to be awake. And my prayer is that what the apostle prayed, he counseled Timothy to make sure that you are just very careful and even tender in dealing with people who are subject to the devil and they don't even know it, that they may come to an awakening. Often this week, as I prepare to speak with you today, I've been praying for an awakening, that God will just gently and show each one of us what realms we have allowed decay and rot and evil to creep into our lives, and to stop that and to quicken instead a new spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ within his people, within each of us. How does the devil accomplish this great expansive work, working in the hearts of all unbelievers and as far as he can in the hearts of even believers? But how does he do this? Well, he has a whole realm. The scripture tells us about angels who fell when Satan was demoted and booted out of heaven in a great war, then he took with him many of the angels, as many as he could foul up. These angels are being kept under surveillance by God. He has, therefore, angel beings who are not hindered and hampered by bodies. He also has evil spirits or demons. The word devil is not properly spoken of in plural. They're not devils. There is one devil, one great enemy of our soul, and he is the ruler of darkness and the things of darkness. But he can be transformed into an angel of light. This is his treachery. He is able to seduce people. And sometimes the way you can tell that the enemy is doing this is by the pleasantness of it, its great appeal. And it will strike a note of resonance within your body, within your person. And it will always be that part that is sensual. It'll have a certain pleasure to the various senses. And so you'll begin to think, well, this must be of God. It's very, very pleasing. It just seems so great and so good. If it's good, it's got to be of God. That's not necessarily true. Satan can be transformed into an angel of light. He is the father of lights and deception, as we'll be seeing more about that next week. So Satan is the ruler of this world. He has at his disposal great powers. And I might just mention that, maybe give you just several reminders of specific examples out of the scripture, because the Bible says we ought not to be ignorant of his devices, his many schemes. Just for example, he tried a lot of things against Jesus, but they didn't work. But one thing he continues to do after Jesus' ascension is to work against his people. And the Bible tells us that as soon as seed is sown, remember the parable of the seed and the sower? It says as soon as the seed is sown, the enemy comes to steal it away so that it cannot germinate. So when you go to witness for Christ, you go to say a word, you got two problems. One, this false fear that builds up within us. And we spend so much time worrying about whether we're going to get embarrassed or not that we just are shut up. If you don't get embarrassed, the other person won't be embarrassed. They get tense when we get tense. But if you don't get tense about it, they'll accept and listen a little bit to what you say, maybe. Just you may just casually say, well, are you interested in spiritual things? And I remember the last time I pulled that on a fella, or at least one time anyway, he looked at me and said, no, I'm not. That didn't shut me up. I just looked at me and I said, well, that's interesting. Tell me why. And then we're in business. And if you need more help, chap's written a book on this. It'll help your tongue-tied condition. Real quick to read that book that chap has written. I was just thinking of the many people in Scripture that were worked on by the devil directly. You remember King David? He not only was led by his lust into the sin of adultery, but it says also in another spot that the devil stirred him up to wrongfully census the people, and God didn't want them to be numbered and counted. David did that, said he was stirred to do that by Satan. The apostle, or the disciple Judas, imagine, one of the 12 chosen by Jesus. The devil put it into his heart to deny Jesus. The great apostle Peter, one of the kingpins of the crew. He was directed by the devil, stirred by the devil, to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. As soon as the church was launched, after Jesus went back to heaven, there were, remember that, Ananias and Sapphira. They obeyed the devil. It was put in their hearts by the enemy to lie to the Holy Spirit, and they were slain for it. Even the Apostle Paul, think of him. He tells us how he was denied or hindered by the devil from going and doing the work he wanted to do in a certain place. He says also that he was hammered away by the enemy and greatly weakened and hurt with a thorn in the flesh. How do you account for that? Except that Satan has great power, far-reaching abilities. 1 John 5:19, the back of the Bible to the epistle of 1 John, chapter 5 and verse 19. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. That's something to think about. So when you're reading the newspaper, you should be able to see that the mastermind that's behind a lot of the things that are going on that are so terrible in the world. What's going on in this world? People say over and over again, they toss the paper aside or punch off the TV to get it out of their sight. This is the answer right there. Let's go back to our text and we'll close with a good positive word. I was thinking on the way up here today of a trick we used to pull as kids. The big, you've heard of Acme Shoes, shoe company? Well, the big Acme plant was right in the town of Clarksville, just down around the corner from where I live. And so the wagons, I'm talking about the old days, when they carried out the big cartons of their ware, would come out on wagons, sort of flatbed wagons. That was very tempting to the little boys, and they'd come down with their team of horses, and the guy'd be sitting there with, and he could reach out with his whip, and don't worry, animal lovers, he didn't hurt them. Those big, that thick hide and all, and he would tap them with that, and they'd fly. Now, when the wagon was empty, two things. The horses had an easier pull, and secondly, it made more racket. And that was a signal to us for a free ride. So we'd go down at the corner when it came by, and after the sight of the man, we'd come up behind and jump on the back of the wagon. And it'd be a whole bunch of us lined up, ready to go, and we'd get in the back of the wagon. And the horses, I'm sure, knew the difference, but the driver didn't till he looks around. And then the old whip would go, and that whip would snap over our heads, and then they got an empty wagon again. So we did a few other things that mom and dads wouldn't want me to tell, so I won't mention those. But I thought of that this morning when I was thinking about this message. I got thinking, well, there must be a way that we can have our hearts and lives empty. What kind of a whip have we got to drive the demons off the back of the wagon in my life and in yours? Well, let's look and see here. It says that Jesus is the one person in all the universe who could make that statement. He says, the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me. That means the Greek is very simple. He has no thing in me, has nothing in me. He can't get a fingernail on me. He cannot accuse me of anything. He said to his enemies, can you accuse me of sin or wrongdoing? But Satan is the accuser of all the brothers. Every person in this church is on his list to accuse before God. He accuses us before God day and night, the scriptures say. And he accuses us to our own hearts. And he has ground to do that. That's his great thing. It's his ground to do that. But let's take the ground away from him. Do you know what Jesus said when he was going to die on the cross? He said, now the prince of this world is thrown out. He's overturned. And he later reiterated it again. The devil is overthrown by Christ's own death. The devil thrusts at Christ, and the Lord Jesus received the full punishment and banishment for our sin. And he took that. And with the blood of Christ pouring down from that cross, Satan was disfranchised. He was disarmed. I'm going to quote scripture to you now. God having disarmed the powers and authorities, put them to public disgrace, triumphing over them by the cross. The devil's end was at Calvary. That's where he lost it all. He is still faking it as far as he can be allowed. But when believers get together and praise God as they're supposed to and love him like they ought to and stay in the scripture, they can take the advantage of the cross and take the advantage away from the devil and love their Lord with their hearts and be free again. And the Lord Jesus, or Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he said that God will not allow you to be tested above what you can bear. And the Lord Jesus said when he was on earth, I saw Satan fall. He is a fallen, doomed prince and king. But he has many, many subjects. And friends, I plead with you, don't be one of them. Don't be duped. But all you have to do to get into the devil's camp, to be under his control, is to do nothing. Satan never passes an open door. He is constantly prodding and looking and seeking his opportunities and holding this one great advantage over us is that people no longer believe like they ought to believe. You cannot believe in God fully until you believe in the devil. Because this is what God is doing. The great adversary of the devil is Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I have come to cast the darkness out. Tonight, make a little test of yourself. Go home and close all the blinds and make sure the room is completely dark. And then try to figure a way to get the dark out. There is absolutely no way you can do it. You can't blow it out. You can't eat it out. There's nothing you can do. You can't talk it out except put a light on. You put the least light on, it'll shine. And the dark will go. In order to rid Satan, you have to have Jesus. And there has to be a real personal relationship with him. And so I want to just see if I could help this morning specifically. In just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity, and I hope you'll do it. I would like to have you pray, if you will, standing in prayer with a good, strong voice. And I'm speaking specifically to some of you who have never prayed out loud, or almost never. I'm not asking for the faithfuls to do it. I'm not asking for the elders to do it. But I'm asking for you. I'm asking for the boys and girls to do it. And if we turn the light on, and if you dare just to ask the Lord Jesus, especially in the family, we're a family, we're around the table, we're eating His Word. And if you do that, it's right to talk to each other. And I would like to have some of you ask the Lord Jesus to fill your heart, fill you with His Spirit. And Jesus said that I, by the Spirit of God, drive out the devil. He allowed the devil had a kingdom, but He said, by the Spirit of God, I drive him out. You can do that. You can ask that God's Spirit fill you. You can thank Jesus that He died for you. And I hope that you will do that this very day. When Jesus was on earth, He prayed with His disciples. And this is one thing He prayed. Father, I pray that You will keep them from the evil one. Some translators just keep them from evil. But He said, what He was saying is, keep them from the evil one. He prayed that for us. And we're talking about the one that our little text says, He is saying, Satan has no place in me at all. So he is the one who is completely untouched by Satan. And He invites us to come into that seclusion with Him, to come into the light with Him, so the dark has to go. Whenever you admit Jesus in His fullness into your life, you're setting aside Satan. He's got to go. And he will go. And he never says, oh boy, I'm out of here. No, no. Satan is a roaring lion. And he seeks whom he may devour. He'll roar the loudest when he is defeated. So I would like then to make a suggestion. We've seen now these three disclosures that heaven is in close touch with earth, that Satan is the ruler of this world, and finally that Jesus Christ conquers Satan. He says, the devil can't even touch me. I want to be inside that fortress. I want to be where I can't be touched, where I can't be deceived, because I am so often deceived and misled by the devil. Well, Jesus is praying now, Father, keep this one, keep that one from the evil one. Do you know the Lord's Prayer? We often recite that part where it says, lead me not in temptation, but deliver me from evil. The preferred translation is, deliver me from the evil one. You are supposed to pray that prayer, that you be delivered from the evil one. Escape temptation, yes, but keep out of the hand and grasp of the evil one. And then the apostle John wrote that the young men, he said, you have his word dwelling in you, and Satan has lost you. The word is in, the devil is out. And I pray that will be the case here today. And you and I can make a choice right now. And you can take Christ fully as your Lord and your Savior. Ask him that he be your Lord, and that blood he shed on the cross will count for you and be cleansing you. And then Satan will let go of you. He'll have to back out. And you stand in Jesus' name. And the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, even the demons, they are subject to us in your name. So the Lord Jesus' name has never weakened. It's still almighty against Satan. So come and ask him now that he will send his Spirit to fill you. And then we know the devil will back out. Before we pray, and you be thinking now, and I hope you will do this. You'll just stand in a moment and offer your prayer that God will fill you, that Satan will be done and leave you. I thought we might just sing, "I Love You, Lord." Let's just sing it together, and then we'll have a time of prayer.